Good afternoon, everybody. Remember in school, it's cool. We really appreciate you being here this late afternoon to listen to these wonderful presentations, including mine. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Nancy Krieger for organizing this important session and for her leadership for the Spirit of 1848 Caucus. Today I'll be speaking with you about the impact of Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy and some issues for health equity and social justice. And hopefully it'll stimulate some questions and ideas in your mind about how we deal with storms that devastate geographic areas in this way. The picture on the first slide depicts streets that are underwater as Hurricane Sandy approaches, so it hasn't even landed yet. It landed about 8 p.m. In the night at Atlantic City, near Atlantic City. And so this is in the early afternoon, and flooding had already occurred. And this is Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So I do have to give a little marketing about my organization. So I do work for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and as you can see on there, there are several bullets. We're the principal agency for protecting the health of all Americans, so the Federal Health Department. We also have Human Services, identified by one of our agencies, the Administration for Children and Families. We provide millions of dollars, and a lot of you have probably received some of that money. We work closely with state, local, and territorial and tribal governments. And my region actually includes the tribal nations in addition to New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. There are 11 major agencies, 8 staff offices. Those staff offices are located in the Office of the Secretary, and that's where I'm located. We have over 300 programs and over 80,000 plus employees plus contractors. Up at the top right-hand side, you should be very familiar with Secretary Sebelia. She's been on TV quite a lot lately. And then down at the bottom is Dr. Howard Koh. He's Assistant Secretary for Health, so he reports directly to her, and I report directly to Dr. Howard Koh. And as you can see in the bottom right-hand corner next to Dr. Koh are the 10 regional offices across the country. So there are 9 other people like me who oversee various jurisdictions within the United States. Okay, so Superstorm Sandy. On October 29, 2012, Hurricane Sandy was downgraded to a post-tropical cyclone as it made its landfall in New York City. The day before, the city issued the second ever mandatory evacuation of coastal areas. The evacuation encompassed residents living in Coney Island, Manhattan Beach, Red Hook, and other areas along the East River in Brooklyn, all of the Rockaways on Long Island, as well as Hamilton Beach and Broad Channel in Queens, almost all the coastal areas of Staten Island, City Island, and a small patch of Throgs Neck, and other patches of South Bronx, Battery Park City, and stretches of the West Side waterfront and of the Lower East Side, East Village, and the Financial District in Manhattan, where I live. Sandy brought winds of up to 85 miles per hour, total rainfall about 1 inch across the city, as well as a peak storm surge of almost 14 feet. In all, Sandy impacted 24 states. And you can see that from the bottom left-hand picture there. You can see it coming up and going all the way up the coast. So as an overview, a mandatory evacuation on October 28, 2013 for over 375,000 people. It hit at 8 p.m. on October 29th near Atlantic City. This is the second largest hurricane behind Hurricane Katrina. Subways, buses, bridge, and tunnels were shut down. And actually, the day before hurricane hit, all the subways were closed. That was historic for New York City. Wall Street shut down. Hospitals and nursing homes evacuated. New York University Hospital and the VA hospitals were heavily damaged because they're located along the East River. The New York Marathon was canceled, And we actually had a successful marathon yesterday, so they were very happy to be back running again. But the runners who did come for the marathon, because the marathon was not canceled until about, I think, Saturday afternoon, and they were supposed to run on Sunday, the marathoners did go out on Monday and Tuesday to Staten Island and other places to try to help out if they could get there. Over almost 400,000 structures were destroyed, and unfortunately 159 individuals lost their lives. One reason why the damage was so devastating is that the water came in from the ocean, and the ocean has salt in it, and the salt destroyed the electrical units that are in the subways and in the hospitals and other places. And one unique characteristic of New York in particular is that electrical units are down in the basement. So that was a lesson learned. Move them up. And parts of Lower Manhattan are still shut down, and the South Ferry Station, subway station in Manhattan, is still closed. So this is a graphic that was created by the New York City Office of Emergency Management, and we'll go through the colors. So if you look at the red color, that's looking at our boroughs, Manhattan from left to right, Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, and then Staten Island. Nearly 850,000 New Yorkers lived in areas of the city that were swamped by Hurricane Sandy's floodwaters on October 29th. Each bubble that you see represents about 2,000 people. And data for this visualization was based on the New York City Community Development Block Grant, the Disaster Recovery Partial Action Plan A, which drew on data from FEMA, and Hurricane Sandy operations. So as you can see, the impact of the storm affected Manhattan, Brooklyn the most, and then Manhattan, and then Staten Island. If we move over to race, we see that the white population suffered more, and that's because they live along the river where real estate is very expensive, so you're not going to have a lot of populations of color living along the river. But you can see there was still heavy damage for the other race and ethnic groups. In terms of income, there was a greater damage among individuals who were above the poverty line. And then if you look at age, there was severe damage across most age groups, which 45 to 64 and 18 to 34 are approximately equal. So now I'm just going to show you some pictures to give you context. On the upper left-hand side would be the before, and the bottom right-hand side would be after. And for this particular picture, the before is actually after, and you probably saw this on TV, 135 homes burned down in Breezy Point, Queens, over a 2 to 3 hour period. And the fire was sparked due to an electrical, it was an electrical fire sparked by water. And thus far, of those 135 homes, only one family has been able to rebuild their home and move back. Here is the Battery Park underpass that will take you across into New Jersey. And you can see that the upper right left-hand corner is our picture. Is water, lots of it. Unlike a number of other tunnels around the world, the Brooklyn Battery does not have a basic system to block water at its entrances. There are no gates, no plugs, or other barriers, nor do Manhattan's other tunnels have that. Defenseless under the storm's ravages, the Brooklyn Battery instead served as a drain for Lower Manhattan, filling up with nearly 100 million gallons of water. The tunnel took in 43 million gallons of water. They had to use 15 pumps with a total, with a capacity ranging of 1,000 to 28,000 gallons per minute. 6-inch hoses were used. The complete pump out took about 9 days, pumping out 4.8 million gallons per day, or an average of over 3,300 gallons per minute. You may have seen this on TV too. It's a resort, the Casino Pier in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. The upper left-hand picture is what the pier looked like, and the roller coaster and all the other rides, you know, they were up and running. And after the storm, the roller coaster was in the sea. This pier has operated from 1972 to 2000, or the roller coaster operated from 1972 to 2000. It was over 1,800 feet in length, 45 feet in height. The roller coaster was demolished and removed from the sea in May of 2013. The pier was renovated by the beginning of the summer. It reopened, and then on September 12th, there was a fire which burned the pier back down again. So now they're trying to renovate once again. These are just some pictures. Once again, the World Trade Center, as you know, we're still rebuilding that. It was totally flooded that night. That's the upper left hand. On the right hand side, you can see taxis underwater in New Jersey. And that's Hoboken, New Jersey. And then on the bottom left is LaGuardia Airport underwater. All of the New York airports were underwater. I was actually with Nancy and some of all of you out at APHA in San Francisco. I couldn't fly back. I was not able to get back to New York until that Sunday on a red eye. And then I immediately moved into a hotel because my building was flooded as well. These are some pictures that show more impact on the community. President Obama visited about 12 days after the storm. He's in New Jersey. You can see pictures of women in Haiti because the storm also did damage down in the Caribbean. So that's the top right. The bottom right are women in Red Hook, Brooklyn. And the bottom left are individuals that are removing spoiled food from the main grocery store in Red Hook, which was totally destroyed. So, let's move. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, so a little bit more information. So where are we now? These are some local, state, and federal actions that have been taken. The HUD Secretary, Secretary Donovan, was appointed by President Obama to oversee the recovery efforts. There was approximately $50 billion allocated from Congress for recovery. It took Congress 91 days to make that decision, and only about $2 billion has been distributed thus far. We provided shelter for over almost 7,000 evacuees in 73 shelters. There are recovery teams at the local, state, and federal levels, and you can imagine what we've been going through in terms of the politics, trying to come to consensus and decisions on what to be done for, what should be done for recovery. Numerous after-action reports were compiled. Recovery plans have been developed. New predictive storm surge models have been created. The Statue of Liberty reopened July 4th. It was severely damaged. Then, of course, it shut down again during our furlough. Ellis Island reopened October 28th, so just last week. So some things that we've learned. I mentioned electricity earlier. The governor has made it one of his priorities to mandate backup electricity for gas stations. Gas stations were flooded out, but more so, gas stations could not do what they do, pump gas, because you may have also seen on TV that anyone that lived below 40th Street in Manhattan, the electricity was out for several days, and that was because one of the Con Edison, our utility company, their generators blew up and began spreading fires throughout lower Manhattan. And so there was no power for the gas stations to even pump gas. When gas stations were able to pump gas, there was a lot of overcharging that went on. as well as you've got a, if you look at the picture in your head, I didn't put a picture up here of New York City, but if you're familiar with New York City, three of the boroughs are islands. And so there was no way for anyone to even get in and out. So trucks couldn't bring in gas, bring in food, that sort of thing. So we're going to have backup electricity. We're going to have stockpiling of gas reserves in case something like this ever happens again. We hope not. Tunnel plugs are converted for subway use, because I mentioned earlier that the water could just come into the subway. There was no way to keep it out. Steel doors are being built for subway entrances. Electrical units are being elevated from the basements. Con Edison is spending about $6 billion repairing electrical substations. 59 resiliency goals have been developed for New York City. So there are many teams that are out there working on those and trying to implement. FEMA provided assistance to over 200,000 individuals. And currently, as of today, 27 households are still displaced. These individuals are living in hotels. There are no homes for them to go back to. So, as you know, recovery will continue for many years. On the left-hand side, you see the one of the after-action reports developed by Mayor Bloomberg and his team. And then on the right is a fact sheet from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. They held several town hall meetings early this spring in New York and New Jersey and in other states, and they decided to provide money to universities to conduct research. And this one here is dealing with recovering from disasters, creating an evidence base for community decisions. And there are three universities in the New York City area that will have received money for that. How many minutes? Okay, almost finished. So some health equity and social justice effects. Many businesses have not reopened. There are loss of jobs, health insurance, places to live, places to purchase convenient and healthy food. Documentation for underserved populations is very scarce, so it's difficult for us at this point in time to develop adequate and targeted recovery plans. And the impact of the evacuation has led to negative health effects, increased stress and frustration. And it was just reported just last week that over 100 senior citizens that were evacuated from nursing homes died within 6 months after the storm. So this summer, New York City actually had a campaign. This is a new newspaper here. Hurricane Sandy is gone for some. The stress still lingers. And so they were encouraging individuals to go out and meet with some behavioral health specialists to help them get through this. There's a perception of greater concern for individuals who lost secondary homes versus those who lost their only home. I received calls from a number of people who were in other states that I've worked in the past, worried about their second homes on Long Island. Wasn't a priority for me. Anyway, travel out of heavily damaged areas is still difficult. Just in June of this year, the mayor allowed or paid for free ferries for individuals that live in Red Hook, Brooklyn, so that they could actually get over to Manhattan or to Staten Island so they could actually go to work. The Long Island transit was shut down for several months. The buses weren't running, and people couldn't get to their jobs if their jobs were still there. And many residents didn't feel that help came soon enough, especially individuals in public housing, high-rise buildings, nursing homes, Staten Island. Okay, so we're just about finished. So these are some additional federal resources. The Affordable Care Act, you know a lot about that. The National Disaster Recovery Framework, which is a guide to promote effective recovery, particularly for those incidents that are large-scale or catastrophic. The National Prevention Strategy, which was mandated as a part of the Affordable Care Act. Healthy People 2020, our national guide for health objectives. Cultural and linguistic appropriate services, or the CLASS standards, which are intended to advance health equity, improve quality, and help eliminate healthcare health care disparities by establishing a blueprint for health and health care. And then I mentioned the research grants. Okay. Okie dokie. Oops, I guess I didn't have it on the right one. So what is a role that you can play? What are some roles you can play? You can educate yourself and your loved ones and your community on disaster preparedness. Conduct drills with your family and neighbors. Be prepared to evacuate if you're asked to. And learn about recovery resources that may be available to you. And just one second. I know I'm just out of time, but I just wanted to throw some questions out there for you to think about. So what would you do when millions of people with no electricity didn't have electricity for many days, lived in high rises? They had no way to get on or off the island to bring in goods or resources. The airports, subways, tunnels, and streets were flooded. Bridges were closed due to wind effects. Explosions are occurring. Fires are happening. Unexpected evacuations from the hospitals. Limited food, clean water, and transportation. And then, of course, how do you communicate this to individuals through the TV when there is no power for them to listen to the TV or the radio? So thank you very much. I appreciate you allowing me to share some of this information with you, and I hope we have a fruitful discussion.